It was a couple of months ago when the worship team started to plan worship for September and October, and in the planning process, we came up with a theme of listening. Listening to God, listening to each other, and listening to the world. And in the course of this time, what has happened in the times of preparing for preaching is that certain words have come to the surface. Certain words that have shimmered for us or spoken to us as pastors in this time together. And for me, the two words that we've already had and we spoke and talked about were, the first one was grace, the second one was promise, and the third one today that I wish to speak about is presence. Presence. Again, a word we often don't use or have in our everyday lives, but one that I would like to lift before you today. What is it to be present? What is presence? It's about being here, showing up, but not just being here and showing up without attention. It's about being attentive, being all there, all in, a sense of offering of the whole of self, as well as being able to receive what is being offered. We speak of the presence of God in all the world, showing forth in splendor. And we speak of the presence of Christ in our midst, wholly with us, fully attentive. We speak of the presence of the Spirit pouring out gifts that we may receive, and we are invited to live in that presence and to be present in our world today. The first time I was confronted with this was as a chaplain in training. It was one of my first days in the hospital. And I was assigned a couple of floors where I was to be a chaplain. And I received a hurried call from a nurse that I was to get very quickly to room 650. And so I dropped everything and ran to this room. And when I went to the room, breathless, I saw it filled with people. People who were bustling about, a patient who was in the bed in the middle of the room. He had tubes in his mouth and in his nose. He had tubes coming out of his legs and arms, it seemed. And people were giving orders to each other, busily looking at each other, taking notes, but not looking up. The man had coded. They were unable to save him. His heart had stopped. His breathing was over. And all the machines around him showed straight lines. Everyone in that room seemed to be extremely busy. Everyone seemed to have an important job to do. The doctors had a job, the nurses had a job, even housekeeping had a job. They'd called me to that room, but no one acknowledged my presence. What was my job, I wondered? What was the role I had in this room? It was a moment of complete helplessness. For in this situation, I had nothing. I wished I'd brought a Bible or a hymnal or something to hold on to, something that gave me words to say. I wish I had some assigned task for the checklist. I wish I knew what I'd been called for. And it seemed like a very long time as I watched them hurry around me. I simply looked, watched, waited, and some ways tried to get out of the way. And then I began to notice as the room began to clear that there was someone else there who was standing with empty arms and open hands, looking as helpless as I felt. And I walked over and stood by her side. She was married to the patient. She'd been there through it all. And we stood there some time together in silence. Eventually, we introduced ourselves. Eventually, we walked down the long hallway, following her husband's body to the elevator where he went away. And eventually we talked together about her long ordeal. But it all started by being there and sharing helplessness. It had to be enough, because it was all that we had. I thought of this moment as I was preparing for the sermon and also for the women's retreat that we held yesterday, because we use this gospel from the 10th chapter of Luke. And this gospel is now being spoken of as a message perhaps to the church today, a message of seeing our call and our mission in a new way. What happens in the gospel? Jesus sends out 70 followers out ahead of him. He says, go to the places I want to go. And he gives them very simple instructions, that really they're to leave the instructions behind. They are to travel very light, no sandals, no extra bags, nothing prepared for the next day. And they are to go as strangers to places they don't know, to be there and ask for hospitality of the people who live there. Offer peace, and when their peace is received and returned, to step in and enter in to those homes that invite them. And then to stay in the house for a long time and be there. We can use the words only. They are only to be present. They are only to show up, to be there, and all they need to do is announce the kingdom of God. Or we could use the word just. They just need to be present. They just need to show up. They just need to announce the kingdom of God. Only and just, we use these words as if this is easy. Just show up. Just be there. But in our world today, this may be the very hardest thing to do. I was having a conversation with a friend who just spent 2 weeks with her sister, and her sister was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor, had surgery, and is recovering. My friend is quite familiar with hospital life and with recovery, and so when she came to visit her sister, she had a very clear agenda of what she wanted to do so that her sister would be well and on her way by the time she left. And what she discovered was that her sister could not pay attention to her orders. Her sister could not do what she, her instructions and live by her instructions. And she felt helpless. Well, what was she doing there anyway? This wasn't working at all. She might as well go home. And then what she realized was that her presence was needed. Her attention, her company, to accompany her sister, starting with where her sister was. She said to me this week, I realized that what was needed was that I needed to be there with her where she was, mentally, spiritually, physically. To pay attention to where she was in her illness, how she recognized her situation, and to be there with her. Not to try to get her to do what I wanted her to do, or get her to think like I think, or pray like I pray. And she said, this was the hardest thing. To be present, to simply be there with another where they are, to be a presence. And why is this so hard, you ask? We think it might be easier. We don't have to have the way to fix something. Simply be there. Why is it hard? It's hard, I think, because it means that I have to be helpless along with someone else. That I stand with someone as vulnerable as they are. As they suffer, I suffer. I have to die to the importance of my own solutions, die to the assumption that I have the answers to life's problems, and die to the false hopes that I can be a savior too. And dying is the hardest thing. This notion of presence is so upside down for us. We just know we have to be strong and talented and do things right, and then we're on God's side. And we hear we have Jesus calling to us in our weakness. In this text, Jesus is saying that to be a follower is not to know exactly. It's not to be the answer person, the problem solver. It is to be one who trusts, simply and with great difficulty, trusts that God is present in love in this world, even to the depths of suffering. To trust that God is present as Jesus is present. For Jesus stands with those who are helpless and loves them. picture him in these stories we've heard all of our lives. Jesus between two criminals on the cross. Jesus at the table getting his feet washed. Jesus at the tomb of a friend weeping. Jesus stand between a crowd and a woman who is getting stoned. Picture him at the table with his followers, offering bread and wine as he gives himself. Now, in all of these relationships, we might ask, what is being done here? What is happening? And what is happening is the transformation of love that turns the world upside down. Jesus wants us to picture ourselves as the church in an upside down way. In the gospel, he does not say, go out there and get those people to come in the door of the church. Instead, he says, go out there and be with them. He doesn't say, find the professionals to give you the best strategy. Instead, he chooses 70 nameless people, ill-equipped, to offer peace, to live with others, to love them, and say, here is the kingdom of God. And to eat what is set before them. He also prepares them for rejection. He says, not everybody's going to let you in. Be prepared. He invites them and invites us to be present in the world in which he is present, with compassion, paying attention. This is the upside down message in a culture when we are so bombarded by messages of do this, do that, get that, and then we will get it right. We're so bombarded that we're stepping back. We're honing in. Here's the upside down message again. For he says, step out. Be with. Be helpless with others. Put yourself in the trust of God. We can be helpless in what we do, but confident that God has not let us go. Confident that how the church began is how we can begin again. To start over. Pay attention. Stand with others in our common need. And hold fast to the good news that God's love is at the center of all things. In the midst of it all, God makes all things new. The kingdom comes. Thanks be to God. Amen.